And it is 5 p.m. here at 94.1 FM. That is KPFA or KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and time now for Flashpoints.
On today's show, a special bi-coastal broadcast on the continued attacks and future of Democracy Now!, the flagship show of Pacifica Radio. We'll feature interviews with Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez, Dan Coughlin, Robert Knight, Jeremy Scahill from Budapest, Norm Stockwell from Madison. We'll have a legal report from Carol Spooner, and we'll also be co-hosted by my good friend and colleague, Laura Flanders, of Radio for Change. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints after this hour's news.
I'm Eileen Alfandary. Arch-conservative Republican Senator Jesse Helms, who exercised major influence on U.S. foreign policy in nearly 30 years in Congress, today announced he will not seek re-election next year. Helms, who is 79, suffers from a debilitating neurological disorder. Throughout his career, he backed right-wing leaders in Central and South America and opposed Cuba's President Fidel Castro. Helms won election by only relatively slim margins over Democratic rivals, and many observers believe his most likely successor in North Carolina will be a moderate Republican. The best-known Republican mentioned so far for Helms' seat is former North Carolina native Elizabeth Dole. A senior U.S. official says the Bush administration will go it alone and pull out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty if it fails to reach a compromise with Russia on missile defense. Undersecretary of State John Bolton, wrapping up several days of arms talks in Moscow, said crucial decisions have to be made before the November summit between President Bush and his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. The pact, which bans the sort of missile defense Bush wants to build, requires any side wishing to abandon the accord to give 6 months' notice. Children heading back to California public schools this fall will be bringing something new in their backpacks, a list of all the pesticides likely to be used at the schools during the new school year. A new state law that takes effect with the 2001-2002 school year that's just beginning requires schools to give parents written notification of all the pesticides they plan to use. Assemblyman Kevin Shelley of San Francisco is the author of the law. Groups that backed it held news conferences today throughout the state. They're releasing a kit to help parents, students, and school staff understand it. The California Public Interest Research Group did two studies of pesticides used in schools and found that most regularly used highly toxic chemicals, that for most of them, there is no law that is requiring the schools to keep records or to notify parents. The State Public Utilities Commission has released a list of some 400 California businesses that likely will be exempt from rolling blackouts. Nursing homes, medical buildings, and police and fire stations are on the list. The PUC asked companies in May to request an exemption. They got 10,000 applications. Most on the list are vital to public health or safety. Not on the list were scores of supermarkets worried about food spoiling after 2 hours without power. However, after the applications were submitted, Governor Davis ordered blackouts limited to 90 minutes or less. The PUC will vote on the recommendations on September 6th. Seven Palestinians died today in an upsurge of violence in the West Bank and Gaza, including an apparent Israeli attempt to kill two top Hamas leaders. Israeli helicopters in Gaza fired missiles at cars it said were carrying the region's top Hamas bomb makers and commanders. They escaped unharmed, although one other Palestinian was killed in that attack. And the father of a Columbine High School shooting victim is no longer facing trespassing charges for an NRA protest. Prosecutors in Fairfax County, Virginia, have dropped the charges against Thomas Mauser. No one from the National Rifle Association showed up to testify at a hearing today. An NRA spokesperson said the group won't pursue charges. I'm Eileen Alfandary. I'll be back at 6 with the hour-long edition of the KPFA Evening News. Stay tuned for Flashpoints.
Thank you.
listening to Flashpoints on KPFA and KPFB, KFCF in Fresno. My name is Dennis Bernstein. The attacks on Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Reached an all-time high pitch over the weekend, with WBAI hosts attacking Amy on the air and literally calling for her destruction. Yesterday, the staff of Democracy Now! Was suspended without pay because they refused to return to the studios to do their show from within the walls of WBAI. Unbelievably, the union AFTRA that represents them apparently has refused to do so unless they return to the station, despite the physical abuse, the continuous threats and sabotage of the show. Now, joining me from upstate New York on this special devoted to the future of Democracy Now! In Pacifica is my good old friend and co-host Laura Flanders of Radio for Change. Laura, it's a pleasure to be back on the air with you. I wish it was under different circumstances.
Me too, my good old friend Dennis Bernstein.
Well, I guess it's been 12 years since we together co-hosted, along with Robert Knight, a news-breaking show breaking Iran-Contra and then other shows around the globe. I believe it was one of those shows that paved the way for Democracy Now! Laura,
Could it really be 12 years, Dennis? Please. I guess you're right. My goodness.
I think you were, what, 20 years old when you
I was like two, this? Something like that.
Okay.
I was very precocious. I mean, just to get in, we're going to get into the topic here in just a second, but I mean, our relationship, our personal professional relationship and mine with the network and with KPFA, this is all a symbol of this community radio network web that we have created. Way before the World Wide Web, we were doing it on radio. These are relationships that last. I know Amy. I've been inspired by Amy. We remember, you and I both, I'm sure, as we would scuttle into the studio to do Undercurrents, that whirlwind of activity that was the BAI newsroom back there in the 80s when Amy was the news director at WBAI. We're on the air, and I'm privileged and proud to be on the air with you today, Dennis, because this is about family. This is about our shared, precious resource, which is the programming and also the people. And Amy is for sure one of the key people in our world.
Well, that's right. And Laura, obviously, I have very specific reasons for wanting to co-host this special with you, besides our long-standing friendship and working relationship. And that has to do with your relationship with Pacifica Radio. You were the interim national news director. You've been writing about the situation in your column for Radio for Change. But let's go back to those days. As you were interim director, you ultimately refused to take the job as director of national news. Talk a little bit about what was happening and why that refusal.
Well, it's kind of eerie now to see the demands, very reasonable, absolutely non-negotiable, made by Amy for a safe workplace. The workplace of the Pacifica Network News was not a supportive workplace that didn't get to any kind of personal danger or attack or assault, as Amy has gone through. But I went down to Pacifica in Washington at Julie Drizin's behest and request to, take my hand at directing the news, having worked for so long with FAIR, the Media Watch Group, calling for new and improved news outlets. Julie kind of called my bluff, and I couldn't say no. And it was, in many ways, a pleasure. It was a pleasure to work with Verna Avery Brown, for sure. And there were many contributors to the Pacifica Network News around the network who were a joy to work with. But in that office, I, shall we say, did not find the spirit that you and I share, for example, about what we are about what Pacifica is about what we as Pacifica are contributing to the news debate, to the news options for the people out there in this country. No, I found people who really would rather not work too long, not work too hard, and do programming that was as close to National Public Radio as they could get, because frankly, most of them wished that they worked there. It was an environment that even at that time was ridden with disdain for Amy Goodman and the work that she did at Democracy Now! And still does do. Disdain for her energy, disdain for her commitment, disdain for how much she actually cared about the people on whom she reported. That, I was sort of led to believe by the Pacifica Network News staff, was a bad thing, that somebody might care. Now, I don't think you have to not care about your subjects to do good reporting. I don't think that, and I think You don't think that. But gee, it was hard every day to go in there and feel that you were a bad guy because you cared about what you were doing, and that you were romantic idealist because you believed there was a community out there that wanted programming that was different and that did speak to the brain, spoke to the questions that weren't asked, spoke to the silence, but also spoke to the heart, all of which Amy does. And I didn't take that job for some personal reasons, but mostly professional reasons, that was not a workplace that was safe for my spirit and my soul. And I was sad to leave because I have been dedicated to Pacifica. I would like to be able to contribute my talents to the network, but the network didn't want me, at least the people I was working with. And poor old Dan Coughlin walked into a lion's den, one that I worked with him in for a while there. And now look, the good people who dedicated their hearts and their souls to that program, Verna Avery Brown and Dan Coughlin both, and myself, we're now out of the network. What does that mean?
Well, Laura Flanders, it is obviously trouble for the future of this one remaining alternative non-commercial radio network. And let's bring in Dan Coughlin. In a moment, we'll be talking with Robert Knight about his witness of this violence. He's got some pretty extraordinary tape that we're going to play. He's going to give some background on a new letter from Democracy Now. But let's bring Dan Coughlin into this. Dan, the program Democracy Now! Is being produced downtown at DCTV, but it's not airing on the Pacifica stations. What is the current status of the program?
Hi, Dennis. Great to be with you and Laura this afternoon. My understanding is that Democracy Now!, we learned yesterday that the Democracy Now! Team were suspended without pay, and we had to learn it in the New York Daily News and the Washington Post because apparently the Democracy Now! Team were not informed of that, and they had to learn it in the morning newspapers, which is a sad commentary on the state of affairs at Pacifica today.
And, Dan, talk a little bit about set the scene in terms of these extraordinary attacks over the weekend.
What has been happening on the air at WBAI, Dennis, is really one-way traffic, where Amy is derided as a criminal, a saboteur, a racist, a bitch. This is the kind of language that listeners to WBI have been hearing for about 7 months now. And it's intolerable. The situation is really deteriorating rapidly, and Amy and the Democracy Now! Team felt that they couldn't continue under these kind of conditions. And quite rightly, they decided that they had to produce the show from elsewhere and went down to an alternative studio just around the corner from WBAI and started to produce the show from there. But this is a real sad state of affairs at Pacifica, where the best and the brightest are being driven out one by one. Robert Knight, Amy Goodman, Laura Flanders, Verna Avery Brown, Larry Bensky, just a whole host of producers and programmers who've dedicated their lives to the network, no longer have a place at Pacifica.
Now, Dan, and I hope, you know, Dan has been doing this day in, day out, so somebody take that guy a throat lozenge. Dan, tell us a little bit about the PR offensive and legal offensive that Pacifica have mounted. But before you do that, tell us a little bit about the AFTRA union and the AFTRA rep, if you can. This is a situation where they're bringing out some really big guns, but people were somewhat surprised by the position of the union, I think, and I know that Juan Gonzalez is going to pick up on this, too, when we talk to him in a little while.
Yeah, AFTRA has been representing some workers at Pacifica National Programming for a number of years now in a collective bargaining unit in Washington. But what has happened is they've represented the most privileged sector of workers in the entire Pacifica system. And in return for that privilege, those workers and that union tends to give unqualified support to Pacifica management. And because of that, AFTRA has grown from representing just the unit at Pacifica Network News and at Democracy Now! To KPFK, and now they want to organize WBAI. And so what is happening is that there's a real conflict of interest between the union wanting to grow and get more workers into the bargaining unit on the one hand, and thus making a deal with Pacifica management on the one hand, and on the other hand, representing its workers and membership aggressively as a union should do. And what is happening, I feel, and what many of us in AFTRA have felt for many years, is that AFTRA has not adequately represented the interests of workers at the at Pacifica, but instead has been in league with management in carrying out a variety of different anti-worker policies, such as attacking freelance reporters who are on strike at Pacifica Network News now, more than 50 freelance reporters on strike producing free speech radio news. Their main opponent has been AFTRA, unionized workers, when instead of standing up for free speech, instead of standing up for the First Amendment, too often AFTRA has been standing up for the atrocities or the anti-union policies of Pacifica management, all because of a real venal deal struck between the union and Pacifica management. That's on the one hand. That's one institutional force that many people in Pacifica have to fight today. But in addition, as you mentioned, Laura, Pacifica executive management has brought on new hired guns. If you recall, over the last several years, there's been a number of different law firms and public relations firms that have represented Pacifica, ranging from Feinman Associates in San Francisco during the KPFA lockout through to Epstein, Becker, and Green in more recent times. And those firms have been fired. It's like a kind of road to Basra of all the firms that, that Pacifica has hired and fired over the last years to try to save their political, to ensure their political survival. But the problem that Pacifica does not understand is that this is not a PR issue. This is not a legal issue. This is a political problem which requires a political solution. And I think Williams and Connolly and Greg Craig, who of course your listeners will remember was President Clinton's attorney during the impeachment trial, Greg Craig of Williams and Connolly, West Hill Partners, another major league PR firm based in the Beltway, as well as Fulbright and Jaworski, another huge law firm, Beltway and Houston-based firms. These are the new firms for Pacifica, but the end result is going to be the same because they can't fight hundreds of thousands of people across the country who are unified in what they're demanding, which is a return of Pacifica to its true and authentic mission and to some kind of democratic character.
All right, you're listening to Flashpoints on KPFA. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This program is being co-hosted by Laura Flanders, who joins us from upstate New York on the ISDN line. She is a she has a program with Radio for Change. We're going to tell you about that later on in this broadcast. That's Dan Coughlin. He's a former national news director, now with the Pacifica campaign. We also have on the line with us Robert Knight. Robert Knight was had many positions at WBAI. Most recently, he was the former morning news director. He had the long-standing night show Earthwatch. He was a co-host along and a founder and a producer on the Undercurrents and Contragate program with Laura and I. And he is a first-hand witness to the kind of violence that we have seen perpetrated against Amy Goodman. Robert, welcome to Flashpoints.
Greetings, Dennis, Noel, Laura. Good to hear you. Everyone.
You too, Robert. And
all right, Robert, first of all, just briefly outline, Democracy Now! Released a letter outlining some of the attacks that they have been subjected to over the last several months, weeks, and months. Outline that letter, and then why don't you set up this piece of tape that you have to play for us?
Well, Dennis, this is one of the most difficult reports that I will have had to make in regard to the ongoing crisis and corporatization of Pacifica, WBAI, Democracy Now!, and such. We have suffered, a number of us, verbal harassment. We have endured cultural and racial invective by those who are currently leading WBAI and Pacifica. There has been financial retribution. When I heard that the Democracy Now! Staff has been suspended without pay, it seems so familiar. The same thing happened in my case. And there has been physical intimidation in the construction of an exceedingly hostile workplace. As you know, a Friday ago, WBAI's current station manager, Utrice C. Lead, actually laid hands on Amy Goodman and taking from her a camera with which she was documenting the manipulation of property belonging to former program director Bernard White. My property in this station now remains under their watchful and tampering hands. That is not the only physical assault that has taken place at WBAI. I myself suffered one on the 6th of February between the hours of 9 and 10 o'clock in the office of Utrice Lead when one of her core, I guess, compatriots, Clayton Riley, who for a time shoehorned in on wake-up call during the transition when the rest of us were attempting to be removed. On that day, Clayton Riley physically accosted and menaced me and assaulted me by standing over me, gesticulating wildly, and gripping my knees as I was seated, and he stood towering over me in a way that aroused tremendous fear because I had witnessed him in previous years knock out an acting program director named Rick Harris.
I was there to watch that as well.
And so there is verbal, economic, and physical intimidation that's taking place under the current regime at WBAI and elsewhere in Pacifica. As I said, Dennis, this is a very difficult report for me to make, made even more so by reading the Village Voice today, in which a public relations boilerplate letter over the signature of Executive Director Bessie Wash makes the following statement. Quoting, "The fact is many employees and volunteers fear for their safety as a result of the climate of intimidation that has been fostered by," and she goes on to say, "the dissidents." Mm. But I'm saying today that a climate of intimidation and violence has been fostered by the current management of WBAI. This happened in other places within the network, but specifically here, and that's what I'm here to talk about. On that day, the 6th of February, at approximately 7:15 a.m., there were phone calls on wake-up call for those in California and elsewhere in the country. Wake-up call is the root of the tree out of which the informative branches of Democracy Now! Grew. Amy and Bernard White and the rest of the crew, myself included, produced a fertility of information, much of which sometimes made its way onto Democracy Now! That is what they sought to annihilate. On this particular morning, the racial invective was thick. The day before, a caller called in to talk about this or that on the station, and Clayton Riley spontaneously said, "Go ahead, say it. I know what you want to call me. You want to use the N-word." Well, on this day, the 6th, the day after that odd incident, a foolish caller, a stupid racist caller, called up and blurted out just, you know, for a nanosecond, a racial epithet. Dennis, I believe that a mature, noble, strong, and informative black person does not have to act stupid because someone says something stupid. What Clayton Riley did in response to that was say, "Oh, that's your people. That's your army, Amy." In other words, accusing her of hurling the racial pejorative. A moment later, in the course of the chit-chat and greeting, in my role as occasional host and also as news anchor, I condemned Clayton Riley's attribution of racism to Amy Goodman. And I said that people who use that word are not, as he said, Amy's people. Because of the misrepresentation Pacifica is making, I'd like now for you to hear what happened inside the studio, during which time, and what we're going to hear transpires immediately after, Clayton Riley said furiously to me that I was a slave for kissing that white bitch's ass. That is the level of discussion that it has been reduced to under the current management of WBAI. And I'll just add the footnote that 2 hours after this in-studio encounter that you are about to hear for the first time is when I was assaulted by Clayton Riley in the office of Utrice Lead and members of a core staff. I hope that has set up the context of what will seem a bizarre set of moments inside the studio. After that comment, Amy repeatedly asks for an apology. Again, Riley calls me a slave, makes reference to it, and then denies that he was calling Amy a white bitch. But I think the sound will explain itself, and I'll have another comment or two after we come out of it.
All right, let's listen to that sound now.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. People who say nigger are not Amy's people.
How do you know that, Robert? How can you be so sure?
But that was essentially you were on the air?
Yes, let then the record show I did deliver my newscast.
then the music came up and that battle took
what
place.
What you heard was the sound inside the studio. What the listeners heard at that time was only the music. But as I said, this is one of the most difficult stories I have done, but I have no choice but to do so, despite the fierce retribution that I expect for doing so.
Robert, I have a question just on clarification here.
Yes.
Is it true, because Amy is being cast as, let's say, a misrepresenter when it comes to her safety inside that studio. And it seemed to me that Clayton Riley, who has not been banned from the studio, who is still in WBAI, who was on the air this last weekend, is he heard to say you can die right here in this room?
His words were, we can all die right here in this room.
Okay. I mean, the listening to this, I mean, Robert, it is it says volumes about WBAI that you are still trying to do your news report during all of this. You are standing up for Amy. Amy is in a peaceful voice trying to get an apology. But the effect of it, my goodness, is chilling.
It was,
and it sounds like harassment on every level. Remember, this is a small woman, and Robert, if you don't mind me saying so, you're a relatively small man, if only in physical stature. Clayton is not.
Vertically. The serious thing here is that this has to be known. When the executive director of Pacifica Radio, responsible for the appointment of Eutrice Leed, who has encouraged this kind of behavior and has repeatedly spoken of racial, cross-cultural, intertribal enmity as a justification for the extreme actions they take, this has to be said and be known, because people of color do not need to act stupid because people say stupid things. Furthermore, this is in direct contravention of the key principle of Pacifica Radio, which is to explore the differences of understanding across cultures so that a world of peace may be created. And that is why I'm here with this report.
Dennis, could I just intervene briefly?
All right, Dan Coughlin, yes.
Yeah, I think that's just an amazing piece of tape that Robert just played there, but it's also very important to understand a little bit about some other context that's happening at WBAI. Number one, there were for a long periods of time, I think even at that time that tape was played, paramilitary security guards inside the station. These were not official security guards. These were not from a private security guard agency. These were a paramilitary goon squad deployed inside the station.
By the manager.
By the manager, at the only answerable to the manager.
I'd like to add some clarity to that. I have great respect for the individual men of color who were thrown into this circumstance. This stems from a subversive campaign waged for months by Eutrice Leed, who became the manager, with an organization called the United African Movement, headed by Alton Maddox, who she repeatedly interviewed in the months leading up to the December 22nd crisis. The security firm, UAM Security, is an offshoot of that organization. And when our first staff meetings, when we still had a full staff, took place, they would hover outside of the conference room where we were meeting. And Eutrice Leed said, "Oh, these are just my bodyguards." But we began to notice that they did not leave the station when she did. It is my understanding from public board meetings and statements that subsequent to their utility to her, they billed the station and or Pacifica for an amount I understand to be approximately $17,000. This after the leader of the organization, Alton Maddox, at one of their meetings, told the membership that they should not call up and pledge and subscribe to WBAI when that Amy Goodman is on the air.
And we can add to that, Dennis and Laura, a bill
very quickly
of up to $50,000 for a state-of-the-art security system inside the station, 8 cameras, several monitors, a passkey system, time-coded, and also a fix to different zones inside the station, as well as the constant invective we just heard from Clayton there. That kind of stuff goes on the air. That you heard behind the scenes, but that's not uncommon to hear on BAI's airwaves over the last 7 months.
All right, let me jump in here.
Democracy Now! Are the ones suspended without pay, and we're the ones being questioned about ethics when you have this this mutually rewarding relationship between Eutrice Leed and the security service that
he
hired.
All right, I want to jump in right here, Robert and Dan. It really is important to have both of your voices on with us. We have a number of people we want to get to. Waiting in the wings is Juan Gonzalez, the former co-host of Democracy Now!, who resigned to lead the Pacifica campaign to dump this board of corporate raiders. We want to get to him. Hopefully we're going to be speaking with Amy in a little bit. But just before I say goodbye to you, Dan, is it true that Clayton Riley over the weekend literally quoted Colin Powell?
Yeah, he quoted Colin Powell, or said the words that he was uttering came from Colin Powell, which were this: the enemy, and he was referring to the dissidents and those in exile, the 23 fired and banned, the thousands of community activists supporting the station. He said, the enemy must be hunted down, or the enemy must be identified, the enemy must be hunted down, and the enemy must be destroyed unequivocally. And these are the kind, this is what Clayton said over the weekend, and the message is unmistakable.
The enemy must be destroyed. Well, Dan Coughlin, Robert Knight, we thank you for your fine contribution to this special devoted to the future of Democracy Now! And Pacifica Radio. We thank you for joining us, and we're going to keep talking about what's going on and how we can fight back. And speaking about fighting back, we're now joined by Juan Gonzalez of the Pacifica Campaign. Juan, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis.
We've got a terrible line there. I hope we can stay with you on this. You heard that quote Clayton Riley used from Colin Powell. In this context, you have a union like AFTRA trying to coerce AME and Democracy Now! To go back to work. What's your response to that?
Well, my response has been, as somebody who's been active for years in union negotiations as an activist and as the unit chairperson of the Daily News Unit of the Newspaper Guild, so I'm familiar with how unions are supposed to deal with situations. And my response to that is, first of all, that AFTRA should be well aware that that while they were negotiating supposedly on behalf of Amy Goodman all last week, they agreed and supported a request from a demand from Pacifica that Amy have a gag order and not talk about those negotiations at all in public. At the same time they were doing that, their public relations firm, West Hill Partners, was one by one calling up media organizations to put out the viewpoint of Bessie Wash, and in fact started calling newspapers on Monday to let them know that Amy had been suspended, so that Pacifica was not bargaining in good faith from the beginning. The other thing that they did is they allowed people like Clayton Riley and other people on WBAI to blast Amy and the other dissidents on the air. So how could they be negotiating in good faith a resolution of a conflict while they are themselves engaging in underhand activities and allowing the kind of instigation of a violent attitudes and behavior to take place on the air?
One other thing, Juan, on that, I just wanted to come in on that. This is Laura Flanders here with Dennis. When you hear Clayton Riley, it is possible to get focused on what happens in that one studio with those individuals. I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you think is the responsibility of the national staff and the national board for the kind of climate created in WBAI and in some of the other stations over the last few years.
Well, as I've said in recent days, I believe that what's going on now, even this renegade national board is not fully in control of. I mean, I think what's happened in the last few weeks is that Bessie Wash, supported by the station managers at most of the Pacifica stations except KPFA, have pulled a coup within a coup. They, in essence, in the vacuum created by the disorientation within the so-called majority on the Pacifica board, Bessie has filled the void, taken over. And the people on the Pacifica board on their side don't even at this point have enough unity among themselves to recognize that she is now putting the entire Pacifica network on a collision course. She is driving this network into the ground. She and Jatrice Lee, primarily, but supported by Shub in Los Angeles and Garland Ganter in Houston, are driving the entire network into an abyss. And, you know, it is ridiculous to talk about investigating, as Pacifica has, until September 10th, an alleged assault, when they have security cameras in that station. All they have to do is pull the tape and see, did you treat lead assault Amy Goodman or not? And there are witnesses to this. So this nonsense that they want to, like, drag this out till September 10th and then give a progress report on their investigation shows that all they continue to do is attempt to buy time while they create a reality on the ground. They are changing the entire face of Pacifica little by little, day by day, as they continue to fire and ban and get rid of anybody who disagrees with them. And I'm astounded that a union like AFTRA would sit by and allow several members of that union to be threatened, to be, in Amy's case, physically assaulted, and try to hide behind, well, we don't have a health and safety provision in our contract, so we really can't negotiate this issue, and you got to get back to work because you're violating the union contract. That's nonsense. And any self-respecting union, if it can't, within the contract of the union, find a provision to defend it's the union member that pays them dues, should at least keep its mouth shut and not become a mouthpiece for the management.
All right. Juan Gonzalez, we want to bring into this discussion your colleague and friend, Amy Goodman, the co-host of Democracy Now!, at least the co-host until you resigned in protest. Amy Goodman, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Well, it's good to be with you, Dennis. And Laura, I actually just tuned into this conversation, was just hooked in, so I did not hear what Juan said, but as you know, we're in a very serious situation right now, fleeing a physically and verbally abusive workplace. And I'm speaking to you from a safe studio and a technically superior one. And we want to fulfill our responsibilities to produce and broadcast a hard-hitting daily news magazine that community radio stations around the country are demanding. And until the situation de-escalates and an adequate investigation of the serious incidents that have taken place at WBAI happens, we are doing this from an alternative studio. We should not be penalized. Unfortunately, in the last few days, we were suspended without pay. We feel that is simply for protecting ourselves. No one should be forced to remain in an abusive situation. We are a staff of four people, Anthony Sloan, the engineer, Brad Simpson, and Chris Abrams, the producers, as well as myself, and we feel strongly that our safety is non-negotiable.
Amy, let me just jump in here for a moment. I want to talk to you about a letter that the staff of Democracy Now! released outlining some of the abuses that you all have suffered. Among them, there is a threat to have your technical producer, Anthony Sloan, have his legs broken. Is that true?
Yeah, the situation at WBAI, I would say, is very out of control and has been for a number of months. This began in December with a newly installed interim station manager, and the threats and the harassment have only escalated. What you're talking about took place in February. Anthony was just finished up with Democracy Now! He's a longtime staffer at WBAI, volunteer. Also, he was the arts director for years, now the arts director emeritus, and he's an engineer at Democracy Now! He was left the studio. He was leaving the station. And one of the producers came out and started to ask him what he thought of me being invited onto another radio station that night, a station named actually for Eugene V. Debs, WEVD. And Anthony said he was fine with it. In fact, he had an art project, would like to be on himself to talk about that. At which point the producer got very heated, started to shout at Anthony. It brought other staffers out of their offices. It was in the lobby of BAI, and Anthony said he just stepped back and said, this is not a good situation, and began to leave and went off to the elevator. He was followed by this producer, and he said that he knew people he could pay $400 to break Anthony's legs. Anthony then called the national program director, Steve Yasko, to tell him about what happened, to tell him about the threats, and he said it was none of his business, that was a local situation. And in situation after situation, I mean, this sounds so surreal, I'm sure, for many people, the kind of workplace that we experience. But it has escalated, and in every case, we have alerted management, our national manager, as well as the interim station manager, Utrecht Lead at WBAI, as well as Bessie Wash, the executive director. And in every case, we have gotten no response. That same producer was in the studio one morning, and Robert Knight, certainly, you know, your longtime colleague, Dennis, and he was the news anchor of Wake Up Call, the program that we all did together. We were in the studio together with this producer. The producer got angry, and Robert came in and was defending me. The producer said, let's go to music. And he turned on Robert, and he said, he started to say, stop kissing the ass of that white bitch.
Well, Amy,
we've
just played the...
just heard that whole tape, Amy, and the audience here at KPFA has been able to hear what exactly went on in that studio, and it's shocking. I want to get back to your situation vis-a-vis Pacifica. They have suspended you without pay for
right.
your refusal to return back to the studio. You have, however, been broadcasting from an alternative site that is safe and well-equipped. There's precedence for broadcasting from alternative sites to WBAI, are there not?
That's right, Laura. I mean, not only have we done it when we go in different locations like the Battle in Seattle, but every day on WBAI and other stations, we have Gary Noll broadcasting Natural Living every day from noon to 1, Armin DeMille broadcasting The Positive Mind every day 1 to 2, and they're broadcasting from their offices, from their own studios. They come in by ISDN, by a kind of fancy phone line. And then, of course, there's Bob Henley, the PNN, the Pacifica Network News correspondent, who broadcasts from his home to Washington doing his pieces and to New York once a week doing a local morning show.
So what, this is all right for men but not for you?
Well, that's a very serious question. And again, this is for their convenience. For us, it's a matter of safety. And that should be the preeminent concern right now for Pacifica, is that we are in, after a very serious 2 weeks, escalated from, as you can hear, months of continual harassment that has not been addressed. It is intimidating, it is threatening, and we think that in an impossible situation, we have found a sane interim solution to broadcast from a site that is well respected. It is the downtown community TV. It's a community TV center, a very good studio, technically superior to even the best studio at WBAI, and most importantly, safe. And that is all that we are asking to do. And we continue to do that every day, and stations around the country are linking to us, and we're doing our jobs. We have been cited again today for insubordination by Steve Yasko. This is one of a series of insubordination letters. Now, remember, we are the victims here. We are trying to find a sane solution, and yet we over and over again are being hammered with letters of insubordination, and most recently, of course, 2 days ago, we are told, and by the way, I found this out from the newspapers, because Michael Powell of West Hill Partners actually called newspapers long before we were ever told. I learned a day after, about 24 hours later, that we were suspended without pay. But he called the New York Daily News. He called the Washington Post. And he let them know that I was suspended without pay. That's how I learned this. This is an unacceptable situation, and I think it's very important that we go back to where we started, which was broadcasting on the Pacifica satellite system. We are being blocked every day. Stations around the country are threatening to end their contracts with Pacifica because they're not living up to their commitment to give them a live Democracy Now. Instead, they're broadcasting edited old tapes of Democracy Now. We're asking simply to do our job, and that's what we're doing every day.
All right, Amy, I want to thank you very much. I know you're still in the middle of very difficult negotiations. You're also preparing to produce tomorrow's show that will be heard here on KPFA, and by the affiliates. We'll be speaking in a few minutes to one of those affiliates, and we'll be hearing about the action that WORT has taken in terms of cutting off Pacifica until they return Democracy Now! To the airwaves. So we thank you for joining us. I want to bring Juan back into this discussion. Juan, you have started the Pacifica campaign. What is the campaign doing right now? What is it asking people to do?
Well, what we have been trying to do, and I think it's critical to understand where we are in this battle, this long battle now within Pacifica. We are approaching the final climax of this battle. But with what's happened with Democracy Now!, with the board meeting that the Renegade board members have tried to arrange for September 19th, this is This will be decided in the next few weeks. And if it's whichever way it's decided in terms of whether they're able to hold on to control of the network or not, they've got to understand that this battle will go on. But we have an opportunity to end this thing, this madness that is engulfing this network. We have got to be able to get these folks who have seized control of the network to relent to some kind of democratic accountability or to get the hell out. They've only got a one-vote majority, and it's questionable whether they even have a one-vote majority still left on the board. And that's why I really want to urge all the listeners of KPFA. First of all, I want to thank the staff of KPFA for continuing to broadcast Democracy Now and urge them not to to fall prey to the intimidation of Bessie Wash. You are standing up for the principles of Pacifica, not the rest of the Pacifica network at this point, and you should not back down. Secondly, I want to urge all the listeners, please continue the pressure on the Pacifica board. Add ASTRA to your list as one of the groups that you've got to call and tell them to fight like a real union to defend Amy and the other staff of Democracy Now. Participate in whatever local protest you can against the firms of the board members that are still holding on to these reactionary views. We can win this thing. We can win it by September 19th if the pressure continues through this difficult period of the summer and the Labor Day holidays when so many people are on vacation. But Pacifica has chosen this time to go after Democracy Now, which really, at the national level is the soul of whatever progressive voice Pacifica still has left, and we've got to defend the show, because when I resigned more than 6 months ago, I said that they were after persecuting Amy, and it's proven to be true, and we can't let them do it. So I really urge people. I know people are tired of calling, they're tired of emailing, they're tired of the fight, they want the whole thing to end. All of us want it to end. None of us want to continue this fight. But it's really reaching an end point now, and we all have to reach a little deeper into our reserves, our emotional reserves.
What about our financial reserves, Juan? What can you do with money over there?
And keep it going, because, one thing I learned a long time ago in these struggles, a reactionary always yells the loudest and seems the strongest just before they're about to surrender. And I believe that the louder the Pacifica board screams and Yatrice Leeds screams and Bessie Wash acts, that means the closer they are to defeat. And so we should redouble our efforts, and I believe that we will emerge victorious, and then we'll have the long, hard road of rebuilding the network. And if they don't move very quickly, come September, as soon as Labor Day turns around, we in the Pacifica campaign are preparing what I call a September surprise for them. So I really urge the board members, if any of them are listening, to really go back to reason and stop this rabid attacks on the network we all love.
All right. Juan Gonzalez, want to thank you. This is Dennis Bernstein with Laura Flanders in New York. This is a special devoted to the future of Democracy Now! And Pacifica Radio. That's what's at stake here, this entire network. I know, Laura, as we listen to this, we've heard some of it before, but when you hear it all together, it's extraordinary and it's unbelievable.
They are stealing our network from us. And I must reiterate what Juan says. The staff and the volunteers at KPFA are in some ways our bulwark here. And they are, you are, and the next people, Bessie Wash and co, are coming for. I understand calls, shall we say, have already been made, and I hope you'll elaborate a little on that. People must stand up. And I know that Amy is working around the clock, Dan and Juan also. Check out the Pacifica campaign site. It's pacificacampaign.org or savepacifica.net. Juan talked about digging into reserves. They need money over there, too, folks. So if you can't get to a demonstration, make a contribution. The way that these shows, Democracy Now!, the programs that are being produced live from the firehouse in New York are getting out, is not cheap, and Amy needs help. So
right.
There are many things people can do, and do something.
All right, now, Laura, we've got three more guests, and we're going to give them each a minute apiece because they've got two more guests because they've got very important things to say. First of all, we're joined by Dave Burstein. He was in court today to give an affidavit to support the kinds of things that Amy and others are saying about the violence. Dave Burstein, are you there? Dave Burstein.
Here in New York, where I'm the WBAI programmer, it used to be very confusing when Dennis Bernstein and Dave Burstein were both on the air here 10 years ago. But as I listened to the show, I said I wanted to add some of it because it seems so unbelievable, but that's just what is happening.
Tell us what you told the court today very quickly.
Okay. I walked into BAI last Wednesday. I said hello to somebody I knew there from the newsroom, and this is what it sounds like in BAI. This is essentially verbatim. I wrote it down shortly thereafter. F her, just F her. Now she's going to get F'd. They can't demonstrate. They're out of here. They're never coming back. Just F her. I wasn't even trying to talk about the politics. I didn't need to get into an argument, so I said, let's talk about something else. No, just F her. She F'd me, and now she's going to get it. One word from her, and it would have been stopped, but she went so far. Just F her, F her. I'm going to take care of these people. They are going to get it now. And another friend, who in fact has been a supporter of the new administration there for lots of uninteresting reasons there, told me it's gotten crazy around here, totally out of control.
Wow.
Someone has to step in and do something. It's full of hate.
Okay, and also on the line is Norm Stockwell from WORT. That's a longtime affiliate of Pacifica. Norm, WORT has taken an action. What action have you taken?
Well, you know, our board of directors was actually meeting the night after Democracy Now! Was pulled off the air on WBAI and the other Pacifica stations when Amy had to move to other studios to do her show because of the safety issue there at BAI, and our board voted to immediately cancel all payment to Pacifica and sent a letter right away to Executive Director Bessie Wash and Steve Yasko explaining that we were canceling that because Democracy Now! Was no longer available in its live daily version, and that if Democracy Now! Were able to return to Safe Studios with its same production, high quality and dedicated production team, that we might consider, again, reinstituting our payments to Pacifica.
Why is Democracy Now! in 15 seconds significant to WRT, and why have you taken this action?
Well, Democracy Now! Is an incredibly valuable program, and our listeners really appreciate the very fine work that Amy and the rest of the staff have done these many years. And listeners are very fond of the show, but they want a live daily show. They don't want taped rebroadcasts of the show, and so when the show was no longer available in its live daily form from the Pacifica satellite, we felt it was necessary to cancel our payments to Pacifica. It's a product that we had contracted for, and our board determined that that product was no longer available, therefore we stopped paying for it. Now, Pacifica has been on the air in Madison, Wisconsin since the late 1980s, since the Iran-Contra hearings, and it is now no longer available to listeners, and I think that's a great loss.
Right.
Both to the listeners of Madison and also to Pacifica as a network, because it loses that very important market.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Norm Stockwell, thank you from WORT for that important information. We'll be speaking with some of the other affiliates over the weeks and days and weeks as we fight this battle together. Laura, it has really been a pleasure to have you with us to co-host this from New York. Why don't you just very briefly tell people how they can find out more about your work? You've been writing columns about this.
Sure, people can check out lauraflanders.com as a website, workingforchange.com. There's a media movement out there, and I'll be back on the air in the San Francisco area very soon because we are all part of a family finding ways to do our work. Pacifica must survive, but Pacifica's not the only game in town, and they need to wake up to that. So right. Check out the websites, and I hope that you and I can talk again very soon.
We will, Laura. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And that wraps it up for this special edition of Flashpoints, devoted to these continuing attacks on Democracy Now!, attacks led by this renegade executive director named Bessie Wash. She's heading here, by the way, in the next weeks and months to negotiate a contract with the KPFA union, and I think we should be ready to tell her what we need in order to consider her legitimate, and it appears unlikely that that's going to happen. The program is produced by myself, Dennis Bernstein, with associate producers Noelle Hanrahan. She worked very hard in this broadcast today, along with Mary Bishop. Yun-Su is an associate producer. We had assistance from Denise Wilkerson. If you have comments or suggestions for the program, please give us a call, 510-848-extension 604. Check us out at the web for a rebroadcast or a taped copy or whatever. Archived at www.flashpoints.net. KPFA is devoted to an alternative distribution of Democracy Now! Stay tuned for that as well.